Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves. And all right, guys, this is a topic that I have been waiting to talk about, and I cannot tell you how excited I am. I am so ready to nerd out on this. Kirsten Forsyth is here from the Dog Aging Project, and she's one of their lead researchers, and she's going to walk us through the actual findings, which are not necessarily the same as what you might have heard. And so, welcome, Kirsten. I am truly, truly excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Pure Dog Talk is proudly sponsored by Trupanion, medical insurance for the life of your pet. Did you know that nearly half of all puppies need unexpected veterinary care before turning a year old? According to Trupanion's data, 48% of puppies have a claim in their first year. While you can't predict the future, you can help your buyers plan for it. As a member of Trupanion's Breeder Support Program, you're able to send each puppy home with a special go-home day offer for immediate coverage upon activation. Trupanion helps to cover the cost of unexpected veterinary expenses with no payout limits, so new owners can rest easy knowing their puppy is protected. Trupanion also has the ability to pay participating veterinarians directly at the time of checkout. You want to learn more? The Trupanion Breeder Support Program is completely free to join and available for breeders in the U.S., Canada, and Australia. Getting started is quick and easy. Just follow the link on my partner page at puredogtalk.com to get started. I'm coming today to talk to you about Brilliant Pad, and it is amazing and an incredible way for me to do my potty training with the puppies and not ever have to touch any yucky stuff. Brilliant Pad literally rolls the mess up and you never touch it. So I really wanted to talk to you guys about that, share with you the experience I had with it. It's like the most amazing thing you've ever seen. So talk me through this a little bit. Tell us about, first, let's start with what exactly is the Dog Aging Project. Let's start there.
Yeah, so the Dog Aging Project is this really cool community science project. Essentially, there are some researchers that are involved at a few different universities, but the main people that are involved in this project are the dog owners themselves. Mm-hmm. So people can nominate their dog to participate. It is a longitudinal observational study, which basically means as a pet owner, once a year, you fill out this really big survey that tells you all about your dog, what their history is as far as their health, but also where they live, what kinds of things they do, the environment they're in. And that information for one dog might not tell us a lot, but when we have tens of thousands of dogs participating, we can pull a lot of information from this. And so once a year, you get to refill out this survey, and we can follow these dogs throughout their lifetime to see what changes, what they're exposed to. And our real goal is to learn more about just all of these dogs in the U.S., but also what makes some dogs live longer than other dogs, and can we get more information about aging in these dogs.
I love that. And so how long have you been working on this project?
So this project has been going on for a little while. It started really enrolling dogs in 2019 is when they started enrolling in it. But more has been going on in the background with people higher up than me in the process for there. But getting this going, and really the first dogs were enrolled and starting to do these surveys in 2019. And so the published paper that I was involved in is the one looking at data from dogs from 2020. But this is still going on. Dogs are still able to enroll. And so
I was just going to say, is this something that my listeners can enroll their dogs and participate?
Yes. So it's something where they can go online to the Dog Aging Project's website. And you can go and nominate your dog and fill out this survey. And I will say it is a long survey because it's really detailed to get all of this information. Right. but it really helps to pull this information and learn more. And when your dog gets enrolled, they become part of the Dog Aging Project pack. There's also this online community where you can communicate with other pet owners who are involved as well. So it's a great experience there.
I love that. And tell us some of the types of questions. You say it's a long survey, so 100 questions or however many questions. What are some of the things that you're going to talk about your dog?
Yeah, so there's different sections to it. So some of it is kind of your standard, you know, what's your pet's age? You know, what breed are they? Male or female, spayed or neutered? You go through and talk about their past medical history. So have they ever been diagnosed with any health problems? And if so, you know, what are those problems, putting that in there? But some of the other information has to do with the environment that your dog's a part of. So where do they live? What part of the country? Are they more rural or are they more in a city? Do they live in a house versus an apartment? And kind of what activities do they do? How much exercise? Are they a working dog? Do they compete in different sports or agility? And just getting all of this kind of information to gather really what's your dog's life story? What are the things they've been exposed to and what health concerns may have they had, and see how that changes as they continue to grow.
Love that. Do you look at things like chemicals? You know, do you put fertilizer on your lawn? Is that the type of thing we're talking about?
They do also ask some questions about that. Now, if you're living in an apartment where you're not having a lawn, then that kind of answers some of those questions. But there are certain like chemicals that they might be exposed to in their environment. Do you have a house with hardwood floors versus carpets? So some things that might seem pretty arbitrary to us, but might be useful if there are lots of different researchers involved in this project looking at different things. The part I was looking at was more specific diseases and breeds, but there are other people looking at things for cancers specifically and what chemicals might have been exposed to and how many dogs exposed to that do end up developing cancer down the line, different things like that.
Huge, huge topic in a lot of my world, right? In the purebred dog fancy. I think it really is an enormous topic. In addition to, you know, some of the flea and tick and some of the heartworm and some of those types of things, I would love to know more about that information.
Yeah, and some of it is, you know, does your dog take medications? Do they get flea prevention, heartworm prevention? That's some of those questions as well.
I love that. Okay, this is amazing. Did I mention, y'all, that Auntie Laura is nerding out here? Because, like, all my stuff. So talk to us about the breeds. You said you had quite a few purebred as well as mixed breed dogs. So talk to us about what you had.
Yeah. So for the specific research part that I was involved in, we were looking at all of the dogs who were enrolled in the study during the year of 2020. So we had 27,541 dogs included. So huge
that
number.
That is an enormous number. Even if we're talking, I mean, I'm always a little questionable about self-reported, like, is it really a Chihuahua lady? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's an enormous statistical sample.
Yeah. So we had a very large number of dogs. Mm-hmm. Of those, about 50% of them were mixed breed dogs and 50% of them were purebred dogs, or again, owner reported. So looking in that, we were then able to include all of those dogs in the study. We tried to look at what the 25 most common or popular dog breeds were that made up the Dog Aging Project pack at that point in time, and then really focused on those top 25 breeds to then say, okay, for these specific breeds, what are the most common medical conditions that their owners are reporting their dog to have experienced in their lifetime? So for each breed, we came up with a list of their 10 most commonly reported conditions. And then we looked to compare how those changed between different breeds and between the mixed breed population and the purebred population to see, is there really a difference in the amount of medical conditions that a dog gets if they're a purebred dog versus being a mixed breed dog?
And so I don't want to bury the lead here. What was the answer?
When we looked at it, one of the things we were wondering was, do purebred dogs have more disease than mixed breed dogs? And we found, no, that's not the case. In fact, it might even be slightly suggested into the opposite. because we looked at, of all of these dogs, how many of them did not have any health conditions reported? So these are our quote unquote healthy dogs. Nothing has been reported to be wrong with them. And we found that 22% of the purebred dogs had no reported medical conditions, and just under 21% of the mixed breed dogs had no medical conditions. So there was really a 1.6% difference between the two of them, which is not a huge difference, but it was actually statistically significant that the purebred dogs were actually more likely to have no owner reported medical conditions than our mixed breed dogs.
Okay, can I just have a moment of verklempt here? This is so important. Kirsten, it is so important, and I know you know this, and I know my audience knows it, but I'm just going to say it. In this narrative that has developed in the public, that purebred dogs are these hothouse flower disasters, mixed breeds are better, blah-de-blah-de-blah, we don't have detail and research and numbers until now. And we can say, no, y'all are wrong.
There's really not more likely to have disease in your purebred dogs. Now, specific breeds may be more likely to have specific conditions.
Sure.
And that goes along with, you know, I do a lot of stuff with the heart. So I know that if we think of degenerative valve disease, Cavaliers come to the top of your mind. Or if you think of dilated cardiomyopathy, Dobermans come to the top of your mind. And we're not saying that certain breeds aren't more prone to very specific diseases or medical conditions, but as a whole, being purebred doesn't show a higher reporting of medical conditions compared to mixed breeds.
So now talk to us that piece. And I'm not sure where you are. I mean, this is an ongoing study, right? So there's more information to be gathered. What are you able to see in the 5 years that you've been working on this in terms of longevity? This is another bugaboo of mine, that mixed breed dogs live longer. And the one research that I have been able to find on this was from Europe, from insurance information in Europe, that showed really no difference to speak of. What are you guys finding?
Yeah, so we don't have an exact answer on that yet, since this is still an ongoing, long-term study. Mm-hmm. I'd say for the part where we were looking at, we were really looking at just in the data from 2020. And so we don't have an answer as far as who's living longer, whether that's the mixed breed dogs, purebred dogs, any specific breed. Really, the focus of what we've got details on so far in this paper is what conditions do they have? And then also, what conditions are we seeing most commonly? And it's turning out that, you know, common things happened commonly, where even though we're looking at these purebred dogs, where you might think they're prone to very specific diseases or medical conditions, it still is things like dental disease, dog bites from other dogs. Those are still some of the things that are showing up frequently across breeds, not just with
torn
one specific breed.
Torn cruciates, things like that.
Yep, we do also see that showing up on there.
Sure. Just out of curiosity, because this is another little... Okay, sorry. I am known for following squirrels off into the distance. So what is your research, or has this even twigged yet, showing there is some research I've seen about early spay neuter affecting dogs that have torn cruciate and that particular specific thing? Do you have any information on that based on your research?
We don't have that specifically. We do kind of try to gather that information. So we can, if there's a researcher who's really interested in that, they can then go in and look at the data and say, of all the dogs who are spayed or not spayed, and we do ask not only, you know, are they spayed or not, but what was the timeline of when they were spayed? So you can go back and extract that information. We just haven't had someone look for that specifically yet.
And I love that this is a community project, right? You're talking about how many people are working on this? How many different researchers, numbers-wise?
I don't even have an exact number, because there's people that are staff of the Dog Aging Project itself who work there, but then there are researchers who might not even be staff of the Dog Aging Project who work at different universities who want to do research, want to use this data. They can actually apply and get access, because this is an open access data project. They can get access to the data and then they can then do research on it and then publish and share the results. So it's not just the staff and the researchers at the Dog Aging Project who can use this data, but really researchers from all across the country or even farther away can use this data. They just have to, on the Dog Aging Project's website as well, there's a section for researchers where you can say, hey, I would love to do research with this data. Sure. And you can go in and apply and kind of say what you're looking to research and what you're looking to find out. And they make sure you're not wanting to do a project that someone else is already working on with that data. Right. And then they say, okay, here you go. Here's your access to the data. You know, keep us updated on what you find.
What an amazing thing. And so you talked about you're seeing sort of common ailments across purebred, mixed breed, what have you. What are some of those, again, besides dental disease and dog bites? Give us like the top five or maybe the top 10 that you're seeing, if you can, off the top of your head. Or you've got a computer in front of you.
I was like, I got my computer. I can see if I can pull up from what we were finding. Because really, we were looking at these 25 breeds and what each of their top 10 are. So theoretically, we could have come up with 250 different problems that are reported. And there was really 53 problems that were overlapping between these different breeds.
Fascinating.
But of those ones.
Right. Yeah. And so then in your top 25 breeds of purebred dogs, what are, say, the top five? This is what you were most actively involved in. Let's go that route.
So our kind of top five, we had Labradors, Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, Poodles, and then Australian Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Those are kind of the top five. A lot of our top 25 are similar, although not exactly the same as what you see in the AKC's most popular dog breeds they had for the year.
And so what are some of the diseases that you're seeing in them? And are you seeing them in all of those breeds, or are there ones, like you talked about, unique to the individual breeds?
Yeah. So there are some that were more unique to the individual breeds, but then there was some that overlapped through multiple different breeds. So the kind of most common across multiple breed groups were, like I said, dental disease, so dental calculus, dog bites, needing their teeth extracted. Surprisingly, Giardia, which is a parasite that spread through water, that was also
pretty
common.
Giardia is the living nightmare of every dog show person known to man, so no surprise about that.
Giardia ranked top five in 15 different of the 25 dog breeds.
Well, I would assume comparable in mixed breed dogs. It's not genetic.
Yes. And a lot of these, you know, I said there were 53 conditions that were in the top 10 for all 25 breeds. Those 53 conditions also included the top 10 for the mixed breed dogs as well. So it fell right into the same category. But arthritis, seasonal allergies, having a heart murmur, getting ear infections, those were all our common reported conditions across different breeds, not specific to any one breed.
Sure. Absolutely. I just think this is so amazing.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew, check it. The results are in, and 96 of the 100 top all-breed show dogs in 2023 are fed ProPlan. The high-performance food is made with 30% protein and 20% fat to fuel the metabolic needs of an active, keenly motivated show dog while maintaining lean muscle. The owners and handlers of these top champions choose to feed ProPlan because it delivers concentrated nutrition to optimize oxygen metabolism for increased endurance, a pivotal part of campaigning a show dog. ProPlan promotes nutrition for joint health and mobility and for healthy skin and coat. The ease of feeding one of the ProPlan All Life Stages formulas that provide complete and balanced nutrition for puppies to senior dogs is an added bonus. Try ProPlan and see why more owners and handlers of top show dogs choose it. Visit purina.com/ProPlan/dogs to learn more about the number one dog food of show dog owners and handlers in 2023.
What are some of your goals going forward now? Getting more dogs, I assume.
Yes. So really it is gathering this data, and like this one project that I'm talking about right here, looking at the different breeds and their diseases, that was really one snapshot of time looking at in 2020, they reported this. You know, if we get more data like this, we could go back and look at a later date and say, okay, well, how has this changed throughout the years? What conditions are actually most commonly occurring from year to year, those differences and changes, but also, like we said before, gathering that data, different people can look back at different things. There's a lot of people in the project who are interested in looking at cancer specifically and what factors may be impacting cancer, what other things are impacting the like longevity and not just the lifespan, but the health span of these dogs that we can keep them healthier for longer.
I know this is maybe going to, you know, blow up the internet, but one of the, I'm going to say, quote unquote, articles I read about this particular project made some references to brachycephalic breeds. Did you break this down by brachycephalic? Were you able to address that in terms of health, longevity, anything like that? Or were they just making it up?
Yeah. So the part that I was looking at, we didn't necessarily break down brachycephalic versus non-brachycephalic breeds. Okay. Now, some brachycephalic breeds were included in these top breeds. You know, we had pugs were up on there, shih tzus, they're going to have those more smushed faces. Now, they may have more particular diseases that might be more prone to a brachycephalic breed as compared to some other ones, but it didn't kind of sub-specialize in brachycephalic versus our dolichocephalic, the long-nosed dogs, we didn't kind of look at them in that regard.
Okay, good. So, like I said, they were making it up. Great. It is just amazing to me when people like you do really good work and really have, like, legitimate, solid information, and people out in the world don't report it properly. I'm a reporter at heart. It makes me crazy. So, there you go. Moving on, so as you add additional breeds, as you add more length of time, right, you can really look at these dogs that were enrolled in 2019, and you get to be 2029, and some of them are starting to die off, right? I mean, that's just kind of the age span.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things, do you have, again, like I was mentioning, do you have specific goals? What are you looking to add to this database in your specific corner of it?
Yeah, so we really want to have a variety of different dogs that are involved in the project, because if we have all of the same type of dog who joins in, you're really only learning about that small population. We want to know about dogs as a whole in the United States and what their life looks like going forward. So I know it's the dog aging project. We don't just want old dogs to participate. You know, puppies can enroll and we can follow those puppies throughout their lifetime. So currently, there is a heavier push towards older dogs being enrolled in the project since it is an aging project. So people think, I have an old dog, I can enroll them. And so the majority of the dogs in the study do tend to be on the older side, although there are plenty of puppies and younger dogs that are getting enrolled, but our numbers tend to be more predominating in those older dogs. So we'd like to get a variety of different breeds, different ages, kind of different parts of the country. So we're not just only researching the dogs that live in Seattle or a certain part of Texas or wherever it is to get a variety of environments so we can really see what are these different factors that play a role in how these dogs age, and is there a similarity where do dogs in a certain part of the country live longer than others versus do certain breeds, or does spaying or neutering play a difference? Do and working dogs and how much like training your dog has been involved in, does that impact the things that they are exposed to in the disease?
Please tell me you have some information about how much they weigh. Like, fat dogs don't live as long, guys.
Yeah, so that is some of the things they look at as far as medical conditions. Like, is your dog obese? Because obesity is a medical condition. Are they overweight? Because that is going to affect things. And so a lot of this project is gathering the data and then allowing the opportunity for people to go in and actually look at different subsets of the data based on what the different researchers are interested in. So there's probably a lot more research projects going on than I even know of the different things that the different researchers are looking at. So there's a lot more to come in the future. And as we continue to gather this data, there's more that we can find out and learn.
100%. I love this. Okay, final question. In your dream world, how do you see the dog aging project impacting
dog owners, pet owners, all dog people going forward?
Well, what I would love to see is finding ways to actually, can we help our dogs to live longer? Because I'm a dog owner myself, and no matter how long they're around for, it's never long enough. My own dog is 17, and he needs to live for longer.
What kind of dog do you have that's 17 years old?
I have a little Lhasa op, so.
It's amazing.
So,
it's so cool.
But, you know, 17, a lot of people will say that's a really long life. I would love for him to live even longer. That's not long enough for me. So really figuring out what we can do to help our dogs live longer, but also live healthier, not just how long they're with us, but how long they're still feeling good, feeling like their normal selves, able to get up and do those activities they love. And
go
so
walk and cuddle on the couch for Netflix.
Exactly. From the veterinary side, what can we do to help them live longer, feel good, have a good life? And so I'm hoping we can get good information out of that. Geriatric medicine is a thing in human medicine, but that's really not a specialty in veterinary medicine right now.
Yeah.
So can we learn more about that in helping our old dogs live longer? And is there something we can do while they're younger to help set them up to have a longer life?
I love that. We've talked on the podcast, actually, about some of the senior things that dogs encounter that are almost like senility for dogs, you know, sundowners and some of these kind of things. Is that included in any of your research at all?
That is one of the areas of research. So the Dog Aging Project, the main part of it is this long longitudinal study. Within that, and the dogs that are involved, sometimes there will be other kind of smaller studies with other research projects and other surveys that dog owners can choose to join in on if they want to. And some of it is looking at mobility as your dog gets older, maintaining their mobility. Some of it is about cognitive function and, you know, are they getting that doggy dementia as they get older, and what are things that might prevent dogs potentially from getting that, or what's at least associated with dogs getting that. So there are definitely researchers involved in the project looking at canine cognitive function or cognitive dysfunction, which is kind of synonymous with human Alzheimer's, and seeing what can we learn about that disease process, and are there any things associated with delaying or preventing it?
Wow. Do you include, I mean, you must in the survey, there's information about diet. Are they what brand dog food?
Yes.
Or raw or home cooked or blah, blah, blah. You know,
exactly.
All of those kinds of things, I assume, are part of the details that you're including.
Yep. That goes into that really long survey. It does also look at what diet do they eat? Is it a commercial diet? If it is, what kind of diet is it? Versus, is it a home cooked diet? Is it a raw diet? Is it fresh frozen prepared diet kind of thing?
Right.
Are you adding any nutritional supplements into their diet to help them as well?
Love it. Love it. Gotta have it. This is amazing. Kirsten, I cannot tell you how excited I am to talk to you today. I hope I get to talk to you like every 5 years and learn more. Tell me again, where's the Dog Aging Project located? You guys are in Texas.
Yeah, so there's like two different locations. Okay. So it's partially based out of Seattle, Washington, the University of Washington there, through their medical school, as well as through Texas A&M, their veterinary school.
For some reason, I had Texas in my brain, but I love that it's Seattle. Hello, Pacific Northwest people, Texas people, I'm just saying. So do you ever get to see like the live dogs that you're researching at all? They don't come visit you?
Some of them. I'd say a lot of it is survey-based, but there are some of the smaller subgroups, and so sort of also based with the Dog Aging Project, there's another study going on right now as part of it that's called TRIAD, or the Test of Rapamycin in Aging Dogs. And so that's a actual prospective clinical trial that one's a little bit more specific. Dogs have to be healthy, so no current medical problems. They have to be at least a certain age and size to qualify for it. But it's actually looking at either giving low-dose rapamycin versus giving a placebo just once a week for a year, and then looking at these dogs and seeing some of their health markers, as well as following them up for another several years after that to see, do dogs who get this medication actually live longer, and are they healthier than just your average aging dog? And so those dogs do come into the vet clinics for appointments and testing twice a year. So those dogs we do actually get to see in person.
I just can't thank you enough. This has made my day entirely happy. So. And I'm going to publicly apologize for mixing you up with a different recording session.
It's okay. I don't mind.
I just really appreciate you, Kirsten. And I really look forward to following this information. Listeners, I will have all kinds of stuff up on the website, on the blog post for you guys. Kirsten, hopefully some of our Pure Dog Talk listeners will come jump in the bandwagon.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right, crew. I hear from folks pretty much daily asking for a specific topic or for a series of podcasts on a topic. So ask and you shall receive. I've done all the hard work. I've sorted, searched, and compiled 8 different albums from the archives on our most popular topics. And when I say there's a podcast for that, I ain't just a woofin'. Getting yours today is super simple. Just jump on puredogtalk.com/store and click the PDT albums image. And when you're in there, you're going to find a collection of veterinary voices. You're going to find a collection for breeding and whelping hands-on. You'll find Pure Dog Talk University on dog breeding. Love the breeds. Up your game. Owner handlers, the interviews, events and sports. There is so much there. And once you're in those links, you'll be able to read the details of the topic. For a special introductory price of $1.99, you get a link to dozens, up to more than 100 episodes on these specific topics. And while you're there, if you or a friend or family member are just getting started, even just starting a search for your first well-bred purebred dog, you can also check out Auntie Laura's Beginner's Guide to Show Dogs at puredogtalk.com/book to get the foundational Pure Dog Talk episodes with bonus tracks. So hop on it, y'all. These special prices will not last.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.